universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. A new year. What does it hold for you? For some people, I know it means new beginnings. For some, they start a new session in school. For some, it is resolutions. The old is past, and we're coming to something new, going to make something new. For some, a new year means relief. The old one, the difficult one, the frustrating one is over. Or maybe it's just the holidays. They're over with all the hustle and bustle, and now you can get back into the normal routine. Ooh, but for some, normal routine, that brings frustration because same old, nothing. And for some, a new year means fear and uncertainty. Another year older, doctor appointments, doctor giving you results that aren't very good. There's many thoughts that go into a new year. I went to service on New Year's Eve, and the epistle reading was from Romans chapter 8. And as you know, Romans was written by Paul, a missionary, a pastor, and is his largest book. And it's interesting because actually in the book of Romans, there's nothing about Jesus' birth or death, or there's no parables, there's no miracles. And the same about Paul. There's nothing about him. It's all theological thoughts to help us live our life. Romans 8, many people think, is the greatest chapter of all, and there's good reason for that. It really fit well with the thought of a new year coming, whether you think new beginnings or relief or frustration or fear in a new year. Romans, the reading was actually verses 28 through the end of the chapter, verse 38, or is it 39? I don't remember. And I looked at this some more later, and it's interesting, because actually there are six questions that Paul asks, and each one builds on them. And each one of these could be a cool podcast in and of themselves. I really want to get to question number six, though. So I'm just going to touch on these real quickly. In verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things?" And these things mean that in the just previous verses that God works all things for good for those who love him, for those who he has predestined, elected, called, and sanctified, and glorified. God is with us. Man, if he is with us, what can we say? Wow. Well, that's the point. All these questions are kind of rhetorical, kind of duh. The second question, then, is if God is for us, who can be against us? That's in verse 32. If God did all this, what else is there? Man, oh man. But he doesn't stop there. In verse 32, he goes on to say, and he prefaces this next question three with, if he, meaning God, did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not graciously give us all things? And that's really the rub, I think, for some people. Yeah, God, if you're going to give us all things, why not? Hey, but you didn't. As I look back on this past year of my life, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me that. You took this away from me when I prayed for it. Well, the key to remember with Romans 8, even with verse 28, God works all things together for good. God is the subject of the sentence. It's God who's in control, God who's in charge, not us. It's the way he wants. And I guess that's why we confess our sins. Lord, sorry that I've sinned, and so often I want it when I want it, the way I want it, and how I want it. And when we realize God's in charge, he will give us all things. Then it's a matter of trusting rather than demanding. That's the relationship with God. And then we can actually say, may it be, God, the way you want it, when you want it, how you want it. Oh, boy, that's a tough one. But I don't want to stop there. I want to keep going. Question number four, who will bring any charge against God's elect? And he basically goes on to say, God's not gonna. God is the one who is for us. And he kind of twists it around. Well, then, is there anyone to condemn us if no one's going to bring a charge? Well, it's not going to be Christ, his son, because he's the one who actually died for us, and he forgives us. Oh, man. And not only does he forgive us, but he hears our prayers and intercedes on our behalf. And here's the question I really want to come to for today. Question number six is in verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us? And then Paul lists several things of humanity in humans' lives that can separate us from other humans. Tribulation or troubles, distress or hardship. These are all different Greek words, of course. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or meaning danger, or sword. And just touching on some of those. The first one, trials, tribulations. Man, we can have that in our body, in our mind, in our thoughts, in our job, in our family, in marriage. Oh, there can be that. And when they pile up, that's when it really becomes the second one, the hardship. That is not just a one-time thing, but a multiple thing, a lifelong. Persecution, oh gosh. The Christians that Paul was writing to, first they were persecuted by the Jews, then they were persecuted by the Romans. And actually, during Paul's life, Nero was the emperor, and for quite a few years later. And Nero, he actually tormented Christians. He loved to pick on them and make them the scapegoat, you might say, but actually he made them his tiki torches. He'd cover them with pitch, stick them up on a pole, and then light them on fire. And they would literally be the tiki torch lights for his party, the Christians. Talk about persecution. It happens around the world. Then famine and nakedness, these of course are things meaning not enough human resources, whether it be of food or of shelter or clothing. And there's a lot of that, not just around the world, but even in the United States. Danger, boy, if you don't have enough of these earthly basic resources, it puts great peril on your life. And then sword, of course, that's warfare. How does Paul then answer this rhetorical question? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? All these things? Oh, I'm sorry. Before I get to that, here's an interesting one. Let's put it into common day situations. Shall cancer separate us? Whether it be lung cancer or liver cancer or pancreatic cancer or bone cancer, brain cancer? Oh, how about a heart attack? How about a car accident? AIDS? Mental depression or other things, governmental collapse, divorce. Can any of these things separate us from God's love? No. No, they can't. And really what I wanted to get to is in verse 36. And I think this relates to people, especially people who are down on their luck, as we say, people who have disabilities and who really struggle, who feel at a disadvantage. Paul puts this insertion. He quotes in the Old Testament, we are facing death all day long like sheep. We are led to slaughter. And I'll be honest, I didn't really understand what that meant for years. Well, but think about it. It's really not that hard. Sometimes we have to think too hard and we miss the point. What's Paul saying? Well, a sheep. A sheep can't change the circumstances, situations he's led. Mm-hmm. So often we can't change our circumstances, situations where we feel out of control. And that's the second thing. Sheep, they feel helpless. They're very dependent. And oh, doesn't that describe our lives sometimes? Yeah, Paul admits to that. That there are times we are very much out of control and life is knocking us down. But can that separate us from the love of Christ? The love of Jesus? No. And he moves on then to the last verse. And he says, no, for in Christ we are, does it say conquerors, mighty warriors, victors? Does it say superheroes? No, actually, it's saying we are more than conquerors. We're more than a mighty warrior, more than a superhero. Nothing can separate us. And he gives then a couple more things, neither life nor death, angels or demons or other rulers, spiritual rulers, present or the future, this new year, heights nor depths, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We can know as we enter this year, God loves us. And if you stop and think about it, he created the world. This is kind of going back to that first question. What shall we say to these things? And if God's for us, who can be against us? If he created us, if he says he loves us, if he sent his son, doesn't that kind of say, really, that he does love us and that he will do everything and at the right time he will give us all things? And really, in many ways, he already has. Earthly circumstances are just that. They come and go. Whether you're wealthy like a Solomon or a king or a prince, it doesn't matter. Or a Hollywood movie star. You know, even a superhero, as we hear about them, they die too. Ah, but we are more than that. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our superhero. He fought the battle. And he won over death, over sin, over the devil. And he promises to walk with us in this new year. So whether, again, we are looking back and trying to start new beginnings with things, or if we are relieved that the old year is over, or if we're frustrated with the new year coming, or we're in fear, we know that Jesus is walking with us, and he holds the future. He lived in the past. He fought death. He fought the devil. He won. And he promises to walk with us into the future, and promises us a future in heaven. Really, this life, this earthly life, physical life, is very short. Whether you live 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, and some only live to 29, and some even less. It's very short. Eternity is long. And that's where we especially have this promise fulfilled. We're more than conquerors. We live with him forever. Let's pray. Thanks, Jesus, that you are more than a superhero. You are the greatest of all. You're our God, and yet you love us. Lord, as we enter a new year, and as we try to start things new, as we are relieved that the old is past, as we are frustrated with things the way they are, out of our control, and we feel helpless, or whether we're frightened by the future, help us, remind us, help us to trust in you. Remind us that you walk with us into this future. And that's why we're more than conquerors, and that nothing will separate us from you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you have thoughts on any of these things, both for what I've just mentioned that's coming up, or with what I've shared today, that we're more than conquerors, more than a superhero, write me at info@not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.Andrus@not-alone.net.